the motives of your heart. In seeking for this year to be an unimaginable year, what should be the motive of my heart? We can have a desire for God to do something amazing in our lives. We can have a desire and desire for God to do unimaginable things in our lives. But what God really looks at and what He's looking for is why. Why do you want God to do something unimaginable in your life? Why do you want God to do something amazing in and through you? When our motives are self-centered and selfish, we are seeking and setting ourselves up to be rewarded from the sinful flesh. And that flesh has its limitations. But when our motives are Christ-centered, when they are Christ-centric, we will reap a rich reward from our Father in heaven. And so this morning I want us to focus in, as we look at this year of being an unimaginable year. What God is going to look for in your heart is not so much as that you believe in Him, because I'm sure you do. But why are you believing for Him to do something amazing through your life? You see, because the capacity of God is unending. His ability to do what He needs to do is not in question. What God is looking for is a person, people, whose hearts are turned towards Him, who are seeking and focusing Him. And when He finds people and He finds hearts that are in that direction, God focused, there is no telling what God can do in and through you. Revivals in nations have started because of a few people whose hearts were turned towards God. We see stories upon stories in the Bible of how a few people whose hearts were turned towards Him, God saw it, acknowledged it, and did something unimaginable. Think about Noah. Think about Abraham. Think about Joseph. Think about Jonah, a complete and utter rascal, running away from the call and purpose of God. But God interrupts his life. And all of a sudden, Jonah's motives change from one of wanting to run and escape from the call and purpose of God. And he says, God, if you can just save this city of Nineveh, don't bring hell and damnation on them. And God changes his mind and brings grace and mercy to a city. So if the same God who worked in the Old Testament is a God who is alive and working in and through you. Our purpose, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 4 says this: our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart. So many of us live our lives consistently and continually trying to please people. Pleasing our spouses, pleasing our family, pleasing our work colleagues, pleasing our neighbors. We live our lives constantly trying to please everybody. And in trying to please everybody, we forget about asking the question, is God pleased with my life? Is God pleased with the motives of my heart? Why are the motives of our hearts so important to God? Because do you know, truly, only God knows the motives of your heart. It's very hard to delve into somebody's mind and understand why they might do something. Why would somebody invite you over for lunch? Why does somebody want to help you? Why does somebody want to come alongside you? Why does somebody say, oh, you're so very nice, you're a wonderful person, I really like you. And there is an element of trust that we all extend to one another, of acceptance and assuming that we all have good motives in all of our relationships, assuming that we all have good intentions to one another. Otherwise, we will walk around like insecure, nervous human beings. I don't know why he said he wants to come around to my home for lunch. Or maybe she. You constantly question everything that anybody does, because you're uncertain of the motives of their heart. But God is never uncertain. He is very clear about why you do what you do. And I want to encourage you to allow your hearts to be motivated in the direction of God, to allow your hearts to be Christ-centered in all that you do, because when you do, you reap an exceedingly rich reward. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord." Isn't that amazing? That God puts you on a scale every day. When you put on a few kilos, you don't like the scales, do you? You avoid them. But when there's a downward trend, you're on them every day. How much have I lost? You know, God puts us on the scales every day. Every transaction that we make, everything that we do, He is assessing the motives of our heart. And sometimes we feel that we can pull the wool over people's eyes, and, you know, we can get away with wrong motives and do things with the wrong attitudes and think that we can get by in life. But let me tell you, all of that catches up with you ultimately. And so I want to encourage us, if we're going to believe God to do something unimaginable through our lives, if you are believing God to do something amazing, the biggest question you need to ask is why? Why should God bless you? Why should God do something amazing in and through your life? Why should He bless your business? Why should He bless your family? Why should He do all those things? The Bible says the human heart is exceedingly very deceitful. And we can easily fool ourselves about our own motives, those inner conversations that we have. We can pretend that we are choosing certain actions for God or for the benefit of others, when really they are simply being done to benefit ourselves. How many of you have done that at some point in your life? Maneuvered, manipulated a decision that you know was really actually only for your benefit. Not for the benefit of the good of others. Or maybe not even for the benefit of the kingdom of God. God is not fooled by our selfishness and is a discerner of our thoughts and our intentions. He discerns them. And so it is important for us to make sure that we have a filter on our emotions and our motives. That we filter and make sure in all that we do that our hearts are doing things with the right intention. You've heard me say this before, but what is motive? Motive is the thing that moves you to act. What is it? It is something that moves you to act. What is that something? Your motive is a belief. So whatever you believe is what moves you to act. That is your motive. So if you believe good about somebody, you will act good towards them. And so your motive, because it is fueled by a positive, good thought or motive or belief, will follow through in a positive and right action. As human beings, we are all good at masking our motives and our intentions. But don't be fooled, because the Bible says, and as a man sows, so he shall reap. If you want your relationships to flourish, if you want your families to be happy, if you want your career to progress in the direction that you know God wants it to, then we have got to put a check on the attitudes of our heart and our emotions. Because when we do, God will always reward us for the intentions of our hearts. It says, for the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and he will judge all people according to their deeds. Now, here's something that we misunderstand. We believe that if we do good with wrong motive, God rewards. Let me tell you, you do good with wrong motives and man will reward. But you do good with right motive and God and heaven will reward. So don't be fooled. When we desire and when all that we do is out of our selfish ambition and desire to help and to make self number one, we become selfish. And everything we do stems from that root, from that heart of selfishness. But God sees that selfishness is, and according to his character and his will and his way, is unable to bless and reward selfishness. God rewards selflessness. God rewards those people who consider others better than themselves. God rewards those who puts the needs of others before their own needs, provided the motive is right. I can put your need ahead of mine because at some point I'm going to call back on it. I scratch your back, you scratch. That's the way of the world. But what if you scratch somebody's back and nobody ever scratched your back? You'll suddenly find the hand of heaven coming down upon you and giving you a good old scratch. Because God will never let you down. Man will let you down. People, institutions, organizations will let you down. But God will never let you down. It's beautiful, it says, for the Son of Man will come with his angels and he in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, hey, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely, everybody say sincerely, sincerely seek him. So he doesn't reward those who seek him. But those who sincerely seek him. Have you ever been to a shop shopping and you're looking for a particular item and there are five or six sales assistants as they normally are having a chat by the sales counter. Yabba, 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 yabba. And you're looking for something and they know where it is. And you go up to them and say, hey, can you help me find this particular item? And they say, yes, sir, I'll come right back. And you watch them and they go kind of scan and come back and say, sir, I don't think it's available. You know, they haven't sincerely seeked out the item that you're looking for. And some of us are like that with God. We kind of, yeah, God, yeah, God, yeah, God. But there is no sincerity in our relationship with him. We do all the right things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We say all the right things. We sit in all the right places. We have that Sunday morning look. Holier than thou, whatever it is for you. Or Monday, whatever that look is that we put on. But you know what? God sees beyond all of that.
And unless we are sincerely seeking after Him, we never get the reward of heaven in our lives. And I want us this year to be a people that will choose to sincerely seek God first. Not second, not third, not as a something that we add on to our life, but with all sincerity. And it's not about, you know, having that constipated look, I'm really seeking after God. But it's about having an attitude that says, God, I want to find you. God, I want to discover you. I want to know more about you. And that is followed through by my actions. I am reading His word. I am praying more than I ever prayed before. I am more God-focused in all my decisions than I have ever been before. My heart is leaning and turning towards Him more than it has ever been before. That is what it means to trust and to seek after God sincerely. And He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Ask your neighbor the question. Look them in the eyeball and say, who do you want to be rewarded by? Who do you want to be rewarded by? Do you want to be rewarded by man, society, organizations, institutions? Or would you rather receive your reward from the greatest rewarder of all, God Himself? I want my reward from God. I want my thank you, you did well, from my Father in heaven. As much as I enjoy maybe the thank yous that I might get from my human beings, I'm not so humble that I won't say thank you for thanking me. But ultimately, I'm seeking for God to look down on my life like He looked down at Jesus's. And He said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Isn't that beautiful? Heaven took a moment to thank a human being, Jesus, in the form of man. God parted the heavens and poured out His anointing upon Jesus, and He gave Jesus His approval. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. You see, when heaven rewards you, it is a sign of God's approval. Ever thought of that? It is a sign of God's approval. The greatest reward that we could ever seek and desire is to know God, to sincerely sense His presence in our lives and to live our lives encapsulated and engulfed by His presence. Because in His presence, the Bible says, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there is everything that we could ever desire or want. When our motives are for God to be glorified in and through our lives, God brings us into our glory. When we desire in all that we do, in your workplace, in your relationships, in all of your interactions with people, when you desire to give God the glory, when in all you do, you want to do to please God, the Bible says that God lifts you up. Isn't that amazing? God lifts you up. We don't need to strive to be exalted. He will lift us up. We don't need to strive to be successful. He will cause us to be successful. We don't have to strive to be wealthy or rich. He will make us rich from His glorious inheritance in heaven above, which is an unlimited source of all that we need. I've taught you so many times, don't look for resources, but go to the source for all your resources. Amen? Go to God Himself, the Creator of heaven and earth. Seek His will in all that you do. Somebody posted something on their WhatsApp status and it was interesting. It said, so tell me, where shall I go? To the left, where nothing's right? or to the right where there's nothing left. And I thought about that. I said, that's really funny. And I thought, obviously, that person is questioning what they should be doing. What does God's word say about that? When we don't know whether we should be going to the left or to the right. Where we go to the left and we feel like there's nothing left. And sometimes you go to the right and think, my God, everything's going haywire. Nothing's working. What does God's word say to us about those times? It says this, seek His will in all you do, and He will show you the path for your life. Isn't that beautiful? Another verse says, He will make your path straight. When there is confusion, when there is uncertainty, when we're not certain about our motives and, you know, God, is this your will? Is this not your will? I can't seem to know what I should be doing. Understand that when you seek Him and His will in all that you do, He will show you the path to take. He will make your path straight. There is no left or right with God. It is simply following and being obedient to where He wants you to be and go. Which is why when Jesus obeyed God as man, obeyed Him in the waters of baptism, when Jesus obeyed Him in surrendering His life for His life of service, 30 years old, heaven approved Jesus and God anointed Him with His Holy Spirit to do what only He had been called to do. And the same lies for each one of us in our walk with God. Do you want God's approval on your life? Do you want all of heaven to say, this is my daughter in whom I am well pleased? And listen, God didn't do it quietly. He didn't whisper, Jesus, I want you to know I'm really happy with you. You're a really nice guy. Keep going. He did it for everyone to see. Because He knew the road that Jesus was going to go on. He knew how tough it was going to be. He knew that He needed all the backing He needed to achieve what He needed to achieve. When we seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness, the Bible clearly says everything shall be added unto us. So I encourage you to learn to seek God's kingdom first. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says this, so I say let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Bring our lives and our motives to a place of total surrender to God. I'm inviting you today, as you continue to journey in this unimaginable year. I don't want to lead you up the garden path. I don't want to lead you down a road of false expectation. But I want to bring the balance between us desiring for God to do amazing things in our lives and God's desire to be totally amazed by Him. To have our focus and our intentions and all that we do motivated from a heart that is Christ-centered. Amen. I want to encourage you in your place of work, in your school, in your colleges, in your interactions with people this week, ask yourself the question, why am I doing what I am doing? Is what I'm doing in keeping with God's will and word for my life? Is my choices and my decisions Christ-centered? Am I seeking God today with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and with all of my soul? Because when you do, the Bible says, what does it say? He will add everything into your life. That's the reward of heaven. Amen. So I want to encourage you as we journey in this week to bring our lives and our motives to a place of total surrender to God. and say, God, whatever my motives have been, whatever I've been thinking and imagining, if it hasn't been your kingdom first with my attitude, if it hasn't been your kingdom first with my finances, if it hasn't been your kingdom first with my time, if it hasn't been your kingdom first with my gifts and my talent, then Lord, let me make the necessary adjustments. Because when you do, when you alter your intentions of your finances, you get heaven's reward in your finances. When you alter the intentions of your relationships, you get heaven's reward in your relationships. When you alter the intentions of why you do what you do in your place of work, you get heaven's reward in all of your work. When you alter your intentions in your ability to give and to serve, you get all of heaven backing you up in all that you do. Amen. And God is not a liar. He is not short. His arm is not short that He cannot bless you more than you need to. His ability and capability is not so small that He cannot bless you beyond an unimaginable year this year. So I want to encourage you this morning as we take communion. Come before God in sincerity and say, God, check the motives of my heart. You know me, my insides from my outsides and vice versa. You know all my going on. But let my heart and my mind and my spirit be surrendered to you. Let me seek to do your will and always to put you first in all that I do. Because when I do, what you do in my life becomes unimaginable. Amen. When God looked down at Noah, He did something unimaginable with Noah, because Noah stood out from everyone who was alive on the earth that time. When God looked down at Enoch, He found somebody who was so focused on Him. When God turned His attention to Joseph through all the trials that he went, He found that in Joseph's heart there were no wrong intentions. And God raised him up to become a premier of one of the greatest nations of the world. There's no telling what God will do with you. There is no telling what God will do through you when we get the motives of our heart right. There's no telling how He will promote you through your career. There's no telling how He will bless the work of your hands. There is no telling how He will allow creativity to flow in and through you when you put all of those things right. You know, the motive is like the compass of our hearts. I don't know how many of you have ever gone camping or walked or tried to find direction. Nowadays we use GPS. But when your phone battery is dead and there's no GPS, it's hard to find your way, because the compass is not operational. And the compass gets its alignment from the magnetic field that God put within this world, the core of this world. The compass gets its direction from its balance, the north and the south, the east and the west. And for our lives to have a clarity, the compass of our hearts must be in line with the core of who God is, His nature and His character. And when we align the compass of our hearts to Him, our lives are directed in His direction. Amen. So this morning, ask yourself the question, God, why am I asking you to do something unimaginable in my life? Is it for my selfish gain? Or is it that you might do something amazing in and through me that will be a tremendous blessing to the people around me, to my city, to my school, to my workplace, to wherever you place me, to my church? Whatever I do will be unimaginable. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, this morning as we come to the place of communion, we want to draw our hearts closer to you. We want to seek you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our souls. We want to cause the compass of our heart to be aligned to you and allow your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all that you have for us. Lord Jesus, we ask for your forgiveness where our motives have been wrong. We ask for your forgiveness where we have sought to manipulate your purposes in our lives. We ask for your forgiveness where we have not totally surrendered to your will and way in our life. And today, Lord, afresh we come to you and ask you to do what only you can do in and through our lives, to lead us and guide us, to make our paths straight, so that we, as we seek you first, you will do what only you can do in and through our lives, a life that is surrendered to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come this morning in confidence to receive communion. Receive his body and his blood that was spilled and broken for you, so as we can enjoy and seek God for who he truly is. Come in faith and receive all of the goodness of God this morning.